Good evening. I'd like to call the Planning Commission meeting Tuesday, February 16, 2016 to order. Could I get a roll call, please?
Here. Mr. Fowler Payne?
Here.
Mr. Mack?
Here.
Mr. Martin?
Here.
Chair George?
Here. If you could please stand, follow Commissioner Keene for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And we'll move on to agenda review. Does the commission wish to rearrange any order items on the agenda?
Nothing.
No? Being none, we'll move to community comments. This is a portion of the evening where we invite the public to come speak on any items that are not on tonight's agenda. Does anyone wish to speak on items not on tonight's agenda? Okay. Hearing none, I'll close the community comments and move on to written comments. We've received an extra memo with a letter. And we've received a attendance, commission member attendance for ARC and HRC dates. Those are the only two. Everyone received a copy of that? Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And we'll move on to the consent agenda. An approval of minutes of January 19, 2016.
I move that we approve.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Could we please get a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Commissioner King?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
Chair George?
Abstain. We'll move on to public hearings. Consideration of lot merger 15-004, conditional use permit 15-007, and mitigated negative declaration. Construction of a 54-room boutique hotel. Location is 325 East Branch Street. The applicant is NKT Commercial. The representative is Stephen Puglisi, Architects. May I please get a staff report?
I'm going to have to step down on this one because I'm within the designated distance.
We may proceed.
Thank you, Chair George, members of the Commission. Bear with me. As you can probably hear, there's a little sinus congestion, so bear with me tonight. Tonight's item 8A, is a consideration of lot merger 15-004 and conditional use permit 15-007, located at 325 East Branch Street. So the property is zoned, it's dual zoned, it's zoned Village Core Downtown and Village Mixed Use. It's also located in the D2.4 Historic Character Overlay District. And surrounding land uses include commercial uses, public facility, and residential uses. And so I'll start off on a little bit of background for the project. The Planning Commission did review a substantially similar project on December 1st of 2015. At that time, the Planning Commission did have some concerns regarding the architectural fit of the proposed project within the village, and also requested some more information on potential traffic solutions to a level of service issue that the city is currently experiencing at West Branch Street and East Grand Avenue. And so that's why we're back here again tonight. So I know we've done this presentation before. I know there's a few new faces in the audience, so I'll go through the same presentation and highlight the changes as appropriate. So again, the project does contain a lot merger. It's a merger of all these existing underlying lots into one lot. The new lot will total 1.86 acres in size, so approximately 81,000 square feet. The conditional use permit that's being requested is for the construction of approximately 29,380 square foot, 54-room hotel. This is an increase in square footage of about 1,650 square feet and three additional rooms. Additionally, the conditional use permit would develop 69 parking spaces. There are nine in existence up against East Branch Street on the site currently, and this is an increase of four spaces from the previous proposal. So as I mentioned, the project site is dual zoned. The primary purpose of the Village Core Downtown Zoning District is to provide for a combination of commercial, office, upper story residential uses, and compatible related developments to promote the pedestrian use and enjoyment of the downtown village area. While the primary purpose of the Village Mixed Use Zoning District is to provide for a mixture of commercial, office, and residential uses compatible with the surrounding districts in small-scale pedestrian-oriented developments. And lodging, hotel or motel, that use category is permitted in both the VMU and VCD zoning districts. As I mentioned, it's also covered by the Historic Character Overlay District. This does require the project to comply with design guidelines and standards for the Historic Character Overlay District. After the Planning Commission's review of the project in December, the project architecture was modified, and at the request of the Planning Commission, it was reviewed by the Historical Resources Committee and the Architectural Review Committee for a second time. The Historical Resources Committee did determine that the revised design of the project was in compliance with the design guidelines. There was some concern on the HRC's part that the primary entranceway was now a little too busy, and did recommend that it reflect the building, the piece of the building that projects out towards the street that's near the creek, which I'll show you images of that in a moment. The ARC, on the other hand, did recommend approval of the project as proposed, with the additional details of roof venting and base material being reviewed by the ARC during the building, prior to building permit issuance. So obviously, as you can see from this image, the architecture of the building has changed. We went from the Monterey colonial style to more of a traditional cottage style. So you have the exposed rafter tails with the and my mind's blanking on, but you exposed rafters again. Now we have roof vents, and you're still using the heavy timber construction, but doing more of a different design change, and still proposing the same similar rock base up on the front half of the building, the front portion of the building that fronts the street, with stone to mimic the Paulding wall up the street to kind of tie the building into the village a little bit more. As you can see also, with the large projection of the entryway, there is space available for parking underneath it, and the architects have added in a larger textured area up front to help identify that this is a pedestrian area. This is where you walk into the front of the building. The ARC did also recommend that a portion of this be carried down to the street and tie in from the sidewalk up to the front door, some pedestrian connectivity there as well. So we anticipate that coming forward. One additional feature of the changed architecture, which it's kind of hard to see in this image, is the addition of a vehicular porte-cochere. The applicants are proposing to install additional parking right here, as you can see by one car sticking right there, which then holds the base of the porte-cochere. This would allow vehicles to pull up, get out, check in, get their room keys, figure out where they are, either drop their luggage off at that time or drive around to a more convenient location, park their car, and get their luggage at that portion. So I did want to highlight that as well. So here's an image of the new proposal as seen from across the street in context to the Mason Bar building. Again, you can see more of the traditional cottage style of the proposed architecture. In this image, you can also see the new proposed roof vents. So the It was commented during the previous project architectural review that that seemed like long expanses of a flat, more or less flat roof that's just kind of stark. So they have, the architects have drawn in these roof vents, which are consistent with the cottage style. One thing that came up during the architectural review committee's review was, did you put those in consideration of roof venting calculations? They were not. That's one of the reasons why the ARC requested to see the final roof venting details come back to them. We'll try and see if we can maybe not have all of them visible or try and balance that. So I did want to highlight that as well. One of the other things that the applicant's proposing up at East Branch Street is this kind of horizontal layered board fence. This is to what a number of the comments that that the project heard last go around was we wanted to see more of the building up at the street. Unfortunately, because of the floodplain in that area, that is it's not entirely doable. And so in order, in this instance, in order to not look at the building and immediately see vehicles, they've added in this fencing, which then you see, if you're a pedestrian standing on the sidewalk, you see the fencing, you might see the top of a car, but then it really highlights the building more. Additionally, as you can see over here, to kind of bookend the main architectural projection on the entryway, they've also built out this piece of the building toward East Branch Street, again trying to engage that pedestrian activity, trying to draw people off the street, give the building some street presence. This is where the additional three rooms, and I believe their suites, would be. And then behind that is, so this is again a closer image of that architectural projection, again going with kind of the smooth stucco on the base of the lower story of the building, the deep recessed windows with the heavy timber construction, and then up top with the board batten clapboard siding with the white railings, and keeping a lot of those architectural details as well. One thing you'll notice, too, is this covered trellis feature. So what the architect was trying to do here, again, is to draw the pedestrians off the street. And so this would have two things. One, it would act as a covered entryway from East Branch Street onto the creek path. And this would extend from Branch Street down to where the trellis would meet the building, and then would transition to the building. So it helps provide that kind of street front interaction that it appeared that we were looking for on the last go around, while also providing a nice feature for the pedestrian pathway adjacent to the creek. So one of the topics, one of the items that we've kind of discussed about this project before is the building size. So again, the overall building is proposed to be 29,380 square feet. If you'll recall, we had talked that the Village Core downtown limits building size to 20,000 square feet. The Village Mixed Use limits the building size to 10,000 square feet. And this is intended to ensure that the development doesn't overpower the typically smaller commercial sites. So in the Village Core downtown, the minimum building size, minimum lot size is 5,000 square feet. Village Mixed Use, minimum lot size is 10,000 square feet. So we're talking bigger buildings on smaller lots. Whereas in this case, we're talking about a larger lot, 81,000 square feet or so. So Oro Grande Municipal Code Section 1636.020L2 and 1648.065 does allow for adjustments to these development standards, such as size, through the conditional use permit process. We've run into this on other projects as of late. There would be site-specific property development standards needed in order to make this project consistent with the intent of the Aurora County Municipal Code. That's why one of the things that staff highlights in the report is recommending an upper limit of 30,000 square feet, so that we recognize that on this large of a lot, we are allowing a little bit more building, but not too large. We're capping it at a certain amount. With regard to access and parking, the site does have two access points. It does have the full turning movement access at the east end of the project. That's the one closest to the creek, as well as the right-in, right-out access near the Mason Bar building. There's also, again, the pedestrian connection on the creek path through the site. When the Planning Commission, toward the end of your motion last time to continue the project, it was thrown in, let's take a look at the driveway configuration, because there was some concern about driving eastbound on Branch Street, seeing the building, wanting to turn into the right-in, right-out turn, but having to basically go past the building and then turn in. Staff did look at that. However, based on concerns regarding vehicular stacking near that signalized intersection, it does prohibit us moving that driveway any closer to the Branch and Mason signal. So that's another reason why that's set up that way. With regard to parking, the development does continue to exceed the parking requirements of the municipal code. So 56 spaces are required, 69 are provided. And that, if you'll notice on page 5 of the staff report, it does incorrectly say 53 spaces are required. That was from the previous project. It is 56 is required and 69 is provided. There is some shared parking with the Mason Bar building. It's not the entirety of the site, but it does include the 9 spaces that are currently constructed adjacent to East Branch Street, and then some additional parking in the new 5 spaces adjacent to the porte-cochere. The vehicular porte-cochere. So there is some shared parking between the two uses. So with regard to traffic, traffic impact study was completed by OmniMeans for the proposed project. For the 51-room hotel, 432 average daily trips were anticipated, 32 in the a.m. and 34 in the p.m. peak hour. I did want to note, again, that the entitled market project would have, in addition to these 432 trips, would have an additional 1,990 daily trips, 169 of them being in the AM and 159 of them being in the PM peak hour. So this is a significant reduction than the entitled market project. And traffic, based on the additional 3 rooms, only is slightly increased on the daily trips and the PM peak hour, AM and PM peak hour. However, these are not significant increases, and therefore the mitigation measures identified in the mitigated negative declaration are still adequate for the proposed project. One of the other results of the traffic impact study was that there's no additional impact at any of these studied intersections, with, again, the exception of the West Branch Street and East Grand Avenue intersection. So that is currently operating at a level of service F. It will remain at a level of service F, either whether or not this project gets approved. We do have, in the 2001 general plan, a statement of overriding consideration that basically says, we know projects being approved in the village area will impact traffic. However, the benefits of projects continuing to be approved outweigh the costs associated with that. And the applicant will be required to pay their proportional share of a city project to increase traffic flow at that intersection. Previously, we had talked about it being a signal project. Actually, the Traffic Commission back in January did review a number of different operational alternatives to this intersection, trying to better it, and selected both a short-term and a long-term alternative, short-term being some restriping, with the long-term improvements being actual physical improvements at that area. So we do have updated projects, or at least the short-term project that the applicant will be paying for. So I've mentioned the pedestrian path already. It's adjacent to Tally Ho Creek. It will connect East Branch Street to LaPointe Street, and the East Branch Street portion is currently constructed. You can see it if you go out to the site, but the whole thing will be completed with the proposed project. And with regard to drainage, even with the additional building area being in that floodplain, the project continues to meet all state requirements for stormwater and flood control. In terms of advisory committee reviews, the staff advisory committee did review the project back in September of 2015. determined that the existing utility infrastructure, water demand, and conservation and emergency access were all topics that were discussed. Staff did confirm with all the different departments that the proposed modifications were acceptable to all of those items. And the SAC was in support and remains in support of the project. And we've identified all the conditions of approval that are in the attached resolution for the project. Again, the Historical Resources Committee did review the project in September of last year, and again, per the Planning Commission's request in January of this year. They did note the historic value of having a hotel in the village. It's been mentioned numerous times that at one point there were four hotels in the village way back when, and that they supported the project because the project would support heritage tourism in the area, as well as being in compliance with the design guidelines. They continued, following review of the architectural modifications, they continued to be in support of the project. And again, there was concern that the front entry was too busy, and I did mention that already. The Architectural Review Committee also re-reviewed the project, and they were still in support of the project, and they actually recommended that the project be approved as submitted, again, with those few details being the roof venting and the base materials being brought back to them prior to building permit issuance. And again, the Traffic Commission did review the project's traffic impacts in November. They reviewed the impact study, the impact to Branch and Grand, and site access, and did recommend approval of the project. And as I mentioned, they did review those different alternatives to the West Branch Street, East Grand Avenue intersection in January. Staff did review the project in accordance with CEQA. Prepared an initial study and mitigated negative declaration for the project. The intent of this was to reduce any significant impacts to levels of less than significance. We did review the project again, or the initial study mitigated negative declaration again with the additional three rooms. No new impacts, no additional mitigation measures were required, and therefore the MND that was previously completed is still adequate for this proposal. With regard to public notice, public hearing notices were mailed to all property owners within 300 feet of the site, were published in the Tribune, posted at City Hall on the city's website, and posted at the site on February 5th. The agenda for tonight was posted, and the agenda and staff report were posted at City Hall and on the city's website on February 11th. And as noted in the staff report, staff has received, with the prior project submittal and with this submittal, we have received comments both in support and opposition of the project, which are all highlighted in your staff report. And the additional correspondence we received today, which is the supplemental memorandum that was on the dais. And with that, the recommendation tonight is that the Planning Commission adopt the attached resolution that's been prepared, which is adopting the mitigated negative declaration and approving a lot merger and conditional use permit for the proposed project. And I would be happy to answer any questions that the Commission has.
Thank you so much. We'll start with Commissioner Martin.
I have some questions, but I think they're probably more appropriately answered by the applicant's architect. So I don't have any questions for staff. Thank you.
Vice Chair Keene?
I don't have any questions for staff.
Commissioner Mack?
I have a couple questions.
Yes, I have a couple questions. I'm just going to hit you randomly with a few. Traffic Commission, it looked like they, when they're upon the review, they're recommending the applicant increase the parking if any additional area on the site can be identified, correct?
That was correct from the November review, yes.
And I don't know if you have the plan, if you can pull that plan up, the site plan. Just looking at the site plan, I'm not sure off East Branch. Are the arrows shown incorrect? Were the arrows coming in on the left and going out on the right?
Yes, they are.
So they're supposed to be reversed, correct?
Yes.
So I'm reading that correct. Can we do the math on the parking real quick? I went through and I highlighted all the new parking, and when I added the 2, 15, 12, 5, 5, 5, 11, 2, I came up with 57 new spaces in 2 motorcycle. And you're showing 59, so I'm wondering what's correct, or a total of 69. when you include the 9 existing stalls. I come up with 56 plus 9. So I wanted to get clarification on the count.
I can go back and recalculate that in a minute if you'd like.
So, okay. And then the other thing, we're supposed to evaluate the building basically on the mass and how it fits in with the neighborhood. I've been able to do that because I brought my scales to scale the plans. It's really helpful if we can have dimensions on the floor plans and on the building plans so the public knows and everyone can get a general sense of how big this building really is, like overall dimensions.
Absolutely.
There's no dimensions on the floor plans.
Absolutely.
Whatsoever. And then, just for clarification, the 5 new stalls and 2 new motorcycle stalls, mm-hmm. is that going to be also available to the restaurant next door? Is that exclusive for this operation?
My understanding is that some of the new parking in this area, as well as the existing parking and the new motorcycle stall, will be available to the adjacent restaurant. The details of that I would leave to the applicant to discuss.
That's it. Thank you.
I just had a quick question. The $30,000 for ad revenue that would come from the business of the hotel, where does that actually get used?
For the Aurora Grande Tourism Business Improvement District. Mm-hmm. So that is a group that does promote the tourism benefits of the city, tries to draw visitors here, and so that the additional tax that would be levied on the hotel would go toward that. It's not necessarily a direct city benefit. Obviously, it would benefit the existing tourism industry in the area. However, increased tourists obviously not only stay here or potentially stay here, but would also spend money here. So indirectly, it would end up benefiting the city.
But that $30,000 goes only to Aurora Grande Tourism, right?
That's correct.
Okay. And then the $150,000 to $175,000, that just goes into the city pot. Is any of it earmarked for the village at all?
No, it would all go into the general fund. However, we do have obviously a number of projects ongoing. We've talked about the East Branch streetscaping project. That's Mason to Paulding Circle, so that would be we could potentially use some of the funds for that. But it would continue to go towards street maintenance, public services, that sort of thing.
Okay, thank you. Those are my questions. At this time, I'd like to invite the applicant to come speak.
Chair George, I just want to make a note. Maybe the applicant can provide a little description on color. I just noticed a pretty wide discrepancy from the coloring renderings that you have in your packet with the screen color shot up there. So you might want to speak to that, Steve. And Commissioner Mack, regarding the parking numbers, there's 5 new stalls right on the western property line that I'm not sure if you counted in, and they're new parking stalls. And there's also a couple little pocket stalls with 2 or 3 spaces, so I just recounted 69, but maybe the applicant can better describe that.
Good evening.
Madam Chairwoman, members of the Planning Commission, my name is Steve Puglisi. I'm the project architect. I have in the audience with me my client, Nick Tompkins. Michael Dammeyer, who's my project manager, is also here. We have brought in, I believe, a more accurate visual description of the project. These colors are much more specific displays for you and the audience to examine. I noticed that the work on the overhead projector is a bit green. Yes. Anyway, thank you for having us here this evening. Staff's done a great job of walking you through this project. A couple of quick housekeeping issues. Commissioner Mack, I too agree that we should have a little more information as far as the overall building dimensioning. We seem compelled to show all kinds of dimensions to make sure we're not goofing up building heights, but we don't bother unless we're asked to show the overall building widths and depths. I think we're just going to make that a policy, whether the jurisdictions ask for it or not. Thanks for pointing that out for us. I want to speak directly to the planning commissioners. I want you all to know that when we came back, when we came in front of you for the first time in December, I paid tremendous attention not only to you but to the audience. As painful as it was to hear some of the comments, I wrote every one of them down. When I was finished crying that night, the next day I got hold, or a day after, I got hold of Matt Everly, and I asked Matt to help me put together an ad hoc committee consisting of two architecture review commissioners and one CHC member. The purpose of wanting, and also with the support and participation of the staff, and this meeting took place at City Hall, the purpose of getting together for that meeting was before I put pen back to paper, I wanted to make sure that I had the opportunity to listen to both the HRC and ARC, a couple of members, to help us decide whether we should throw our design away or fundamentally stick with where we started but go after making improvements. We don't want to waste our clients' money. I want you to know I also invited, and John and Mr. Mack, Planning Commissioner Mack was generous enough to spend some time with us, also giving us some insights. And in the course of disclosure, I also have met with another member of the city, Shirley, who is in the back row, who had some additional comments for us. And by and large, we've taken a lot of those ideas and then went about the reconstructing of the building. What I heard most was the concept of the hotel was valid. Please do everything we can, even acknowledging the existing parking lot and the flood issues. Try to get this building to touch the street in one way or another. And we tried to do that in a couple of areas. Staff has pointed a few of them out. We brought both the porte-cochere, the pedestrian entrance to the building out 18, 20 feet. We've done the same thing even to a greater degree by adding a new wing to the corner adjacent to the creek. To further emphasize that connection, we have built something that we can construct in the floodway, a little covered trellis, a pergola, that gets the pedestrian the opportunity to come directly off the sidewalk and feel a connection between the sidewalk, same materials, same colors, getting them down to the creek. You can then from that point walk across into parking lot areas and such. The real purpose is a visual link. I want to point out also, although we have not done a comprehensive signage program, it is going to be that pergola on Brand Street where we would intend on putting our primary signage. That is going to solve, I think, another one of the Planning Commission's concerns. How are we going to instruct the motorist that here's where the driveway, here the other end of the building might technically be the front door, but how do you navigate in and out of the parking lot given the constraints we have with the pork chop and distances from Mason Street? So we think with our proper signage program, we're going to solve that problem. Once I was reassured by these ad hoc committees that we spoke with, we then went back with the permission of Nick to redesign the character of the building. As staff points out, we've thrown away the notion of a Monterey or any other imported style. Not that Monterey's in East Texas or anything, but why not take more advantage of what we have here in our own community? To that end, we went up and down the street. We've consciously decided we don't want to do a brick or a masonry building, and we looked at the structures that are on Branch Street. We looked at the residences that are on Branch Street. And please remember, a hotel, more than anything else, it's a residence. It's a great big house with lots of bedrooms. We took the four or five residential buildings on Branch Street. We studied their architectural detailing, and we tried to incorporate many of those details into the character of this building. Based on that work, we went back officially back to HRC and officially back to ARC. I was very pleased with the responses we got back from both. As Matt points out to you, the official vote on HRC on a 2-to-1 vote was you may actually have gone a bit too far, we were told. You may want to consider simplifying a little bit of the building. When we took the project to the Architectural Review Commission, the reaction was you hit the nail right on the head. Pretty much don't change a thing. That's what we're coming before you tonight with. To answer a couple of quick questions, John, I believe we do have 69 parking spaces. Teresa, come up with the same number that we did. The hotel is required by your ordinance one space per sleeping room and two spaces for manager. That would bring us to 56 spaces required. As Matt points out, the staff report said 53 before we made the addition. What we have done with those additional 13 spaces is we have put them on site. 10 of them already exist, by the way. They're part of the existing parking lot that you see. Those 10 spaces are available to be shared by both Mason Bar and Grill, which, by the way, Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, it fully parks itself to meet all city standards right now. So what you're going to be ending up with here, folks, are two projects that are quite symbiotic. Hotel and restaurant, you couldn't ask for a better match. But each of those projects individually parks itself to meet all city standards, plus we are providing an additional 13 spaces on site to be shared. Normally, we would be coming before you asking for a parking reduction because of shared use. We're not doing any such thing. We believe we are doing a great job in property parking both of these projects. I would like Matt to help me a bit. Matt, if you could put some of the enhanced vignettes up. Well, let's start with this. Folks, this is right off our design sheet. You're looking at all of the exterior elevations of this building. I want you to see this to note that this structure is not just a pretty face and then a little boring everywhere else. The architectural details that you're looking at and the pedestrian and motorist will see on Branch Street as they walk around this entire building, be it on the creek walk, through the parking lot, even looking down from LaPointe, they are going to see a building that is fully articulated all the way around. Matt, if we could have a couple of those other color shots, I'd appreciate it. We also felt that it would be good for you folks to see even some greater detail. So with the help of our colorization team, we've come up with a few of these vignettes. See how nice that looks? Better than green. Better than green. If we fail on this, these are pretty good size drawings, 11 by 17s, and I'll pass them around. The purpose of these illustrations is to show the depth of detail that where you're actually looking into the building through some of the patios and such. There's a start. Well, I think we're going to be a whole lot happier when you see these in the flesh instead of on the overhead projector. In any case, that, Nicholas, am I missing anything? That concludes my presentation. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Ken Martin?
Mr. Puglisi, yes, thank you very much. I do have only one question, and I don't want to be nitpicky because I know there is a surplus of parking, and I appreciate that. When I look at the front of the proposed hotel where you've got 9 new stalls or 11 new stalls, it looks like the 3 that are underneath this portico or whatever from the photo looks like that's a sidewalk area and they're not actually going to be parking spaces. So are we losing 3 at that point, or is it just the way this drawing is, it's just a drawing and not reality?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, those are 3 covered spaces. They are part, however, of a paving change in the parking lot we're doing, and the purpose of that is purely aesthetics. It is to create a sense of entry both for the motorist or for anyone walking across the parking lot. but those will be officially striped parking spaces. That's where we expect people to park.
Very good. Thank you. And then I had questions on the arrows, but Mr. Mack beat me to that question. So
we'll figure out sooner or later how to draw them correctly.
How to draw right and left arrows. The only other question I guess I had, because I started looking at this, and I'm one of those guys that, for whatever bizarre reason, looks for trash containers. These five new stalls that you've added on the opposite side, kind of on the western edge of this, did we lose our trash enclosures? Or I'm wondering where all the trash is going to end up being stored on site to be picked up by the sanitary district.
As a matter of fact, the trash enclosures that are currently built are going to be removed and relocated. They're going to be pushed back onto the site in the corner where the two parking lots dogleg at the intersection of where, what would that be, the Hardin Street right-of-way terminates. The size of those structures and the number of times that South County Sanitation is going to access the site is going to be something negotiated with them. But as far as its location, turning movements and everything else, we've already gotten that all worked out with them.
Okay. So that it actually appears on the adjacent lot?
As a matter of fact, yes.
That's right? The way it is. But I mean, certainly from the trash company's standpoint, it's going to be way easier for them to get access, and they are capable of picking up trash, I know, 6 if not 7 days a week.
Right.
But I looked at this and suddenly we lost a trash enclosure, and suddenly we're going to not have any trash.
No, it's going to be, they're going to be sitting back at that little.
As long as it's being accommodated, and I guess that's going to be enlarging. Is that what you said? That's going to be, the enclosure is going to be made a little bit larger, or
not necessarily relocated? And we also have our transformer area that we are going to have to also improve because of the hotel. All of that's going to take place at that.
Very
location.
Good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm going back to the parking. So you're saying that right now Mason Bar can fully park itself with its current spots?
That is correct, but Matt, let's make sure I'm telling the truth here.
So parking on the adjacent site was reviewed for both the former restaurant known as Roberts and the existing Mason Bar. Change of use, they were adequately met. Changes of use is not anticipated to impact that at all because they were adequately parked.
Thank you. Vice Chair King, do you have any questions?
Reviewing that question about those three parking spots in front, you referred to three parking spots. On several of the drawings, I see those as two handicap spots. And I think that's an important place to have a couple of handicap spots because the rest of yours are in the back. Now, if that's a change, I want to know about it so I can talk about it when the comments come.
Those are definitely not handicap spots. And the reason why, you will notice, Commissioner Keene, the ramp that you had originally seen in December is gone. Now all of the accessible access to the site is behind the porte-cochere at one point adjacent to the swimming pool. The building code, Americans with Disability Acts, require that we put the handicap parking in the shortest possible distance to the front door. That's exactly what we have done. The building itself, the reason behind that, the building itself is elevated up about 3 feet at that point, so we're going to be looking at something in the neighborhood of 5 or 6 steps. What we have done is, in taking that path of travel from the handicapped spaces, we have brought it around to the side entrance where it is immediately accessible for individuals wheeling luggage. But we've then brought that same sidewalk all the way around to the front of the building, front being the side facing Branch Street, so anyone with disability can also enter the front door of the building at that point just as well.
Thank you.
Yep. Couple questions. Start with some easy ones. In the back, in the corner, there's notes on the plan here showing steps and paths coming from that existing residence. Is that going away, or is there going to be some conductivity coming through from that back residence into the hotel?
None at all. That is probably
just like left over from an old tow.
Mr. Mack, yes, it's probably that. Okay. Just that. Yes.
Cross that one off my list. You hit it on the head. I was wondering about those three spaces, and that's why my calc came off. I didn't know whether that was check-in, and it's just temporary parking. You come check in, and then you go find your regular stall, but if that's a legitimate stall, I'm good with that. I am concerned about the five stalls that are off the restaurant, probably being used more for restaurant use. I didn't know whether that could be flipped around. You put the island on the other side and park going the other way, but then it affects your portico share. I understand that. My question is, I got a few of them with circulation. Not all the time guests come with a standard car or a VW or a whatever kind of car they drive. They come. A lot of people that are coming to the area are bigger sized vehicles, and sometimes they're pulling something with them, a trailer, an ATV, a boat, something or other. A lot of motels and stuff have double parking bays so you can pull those oversized vehicles in and actually like take two stalls or make accommodations for them. Are there any accommodations for larger vehicles in this proposal?
No.
And then this next question is it looks like we're creating vehicle access off into the east north corner. Is there an exhibit showing where that access goes or a definition of that access?
Commissioner Mack, are you referring to the pedestrian pathway up to LaPointe?
Is that the pedestrian pathway? Is that also being used for any kind of emergency access at all?
No, as a matter of fact, you'll notice there is a merging of the pedestrian path and the emergency hammerhead for fire and service vehicles to turn around. They all kind of meld at one point on the site.
That's what it kind of looks like. So, in the hotel business, obviously, you have the manager's unit. You're going to have maids. You're going to have other people helping and working on the facility and changing the beds and all that kind of stuff. How many do you think there would be in this type of operation, 54 rooms?
My experience tells me that maid service runs somewhere between 8 and 11 rooms per maid. So with 54 rooms, we'd have approximately 5 to 6 maids.
So what I was getting at, we have sufficient parking to actually park them as well.
Oh, my goodness, yes, because consider the maids come on site about 10:30, 11 o'clock. Check-in is at 4 o'clock. That's the whole reason behind it. When the parking lot is empty is when the maids are doing their work.
And then I did notice that rear parking area, you had a backup space of 29 feet as opposed to the standard 24. That's kind of what I was alluding for bigger size vehicles or whether, you know, that 4 feet can be used possibly for accommodating bigger vehicles.
If we do have that space, and if the question you're asking is, would it be possible to extend some of the spaces as deeper spaces and even have a note that, you know, use this for larger vehicles, we'd certainly consider doing something like that.
No other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We'll open the public comment period. Does anyone would like to speak on this item? And if you'd like to speak on this item, if you could grab a speaker slip, it would really help Debbie out later on. Are there no speaker slips there? Thank you. Hello, good evening.
Hi, I'm Miss Welsh, Barrio Grande. Couple of comments. One, I've got to say, this looks a lot better than the last proposal we saw. So thank you for that. The trash cans, I hear that they're going to relocate them. I didn't hear there's going to be an increase in them. I can look at Figueroa Mountain dumpsters out in the parking lot. I can look at Panera dumpsters out in the parking lot. I'd really like to know. We're not going to have dumpsters out in the parking lot here. Mason Bar, you say there's enough parking. you know, I've seen the place with Roberts closed. I think it's a little hard to tell, but I've seen it where the whole parking lot is full right now. So I do have some concerns about this shared parking. I understand the way it's written right now. This falls under the parking that's allotted right now in the city, but we also know that there isn't enough. The pool. We're in a severe drought. Weather around here normally, we don't have enough days for a pool. Personally, I'd like to see the pool disappear because I just don't think there are that many days it could be used, and it would help with the drought. The main thing is traffic for me. I live on the east side. We've got the AM and the PM school traffic. We all know that. For some reason, at 3:30 in the afternoon now, it backs up and it gets into Paulding Curve. People pull off over by the welding shop. They get into the medium, and they use that as a traffic lane all the way down to the turning lane where they're going to turn left onto Mason. So traffic is a concern because right now residents aren't driving correctly in the area, and we're having more development out on the east side. And the fees for to assist the city in implementing things, the traffic solution. We've got ADA sidewalks throughout the city that aren't there. We've got cracks in sidewalks that aren't there. I'd really urge you to make sure that we have the money and that we do this correctly and that we work all these problems out before this project goes through. Thank you.
Thank you. Richard Waller.
Good evening, Commissioners. I have a commendation and a gripe. When my grandfather got to Rio Grande in 1907, there were seven hotels in this town. And I commend the town and Mr. Tompkins, et cetera, for getting us a hotel again. I think that it will be important to help the economy of the village thrive. I think it's a great opportunity. My gripe, the creek over there is Corbett Creek. Mr. Corbett settled in Corbett Canyon long before Horace Vachel started Tally Ho Farms. The creek was named, the canyon was named for him, the creek was named for him. It's Corbett Creek. I'd love to see the city remove Tally Ho Creek from its records. It's not geographically accurate. Thank you.
Thank you. Bob Lund. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. Members of the commission, staff. I made a survey of most of the businesses today, and I sent out an email last week about the hotel, and I have not had one objection from any of the merchants in the whole village. They're all in support of this project. They're looking at hopefully 100 more people every day with money in their pockets coming in to support the village, the restaurants, the retail stores, and they're wholeheartedly in support of this project. So just to let you know that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Angela Plummer. Good evening.
I just wanted to, I'm a resident that lives just a couple of blocks from the project site that we're talking about, and I just wanted to voice my support for it. I think the scale is perfect for the downtown. It's not too large, not too ornate, in my opinion. If you look at a lot of the downtown core older buildings, they actually do have a lot of character to them, a lot of architectural detail. So I don't think they over-detailed it, and I don't think it's too plain. I think it looks just perfect. I think it will be a great addition for the businesses here. And I think as we look back at what Mr. Tompkins has done for the revitalization of our downtown, we're going to really be glad that we were all a part of supporting him because it's brought so much to our core. So I would just really encourage you to approve it. I think you guys have done a great job on your homework for parking. I appreciate that. I have two junior high kids, so please do look at that crosswalk right there where all the kids cross, because there is a lot of traffic there in the morning, and I think that's an important part of your view process, but I wholeheartedly support the hotel.
Thank you. Shirley Gibson?
Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. First of all, I am on the HRC, Historic Resources Committee, and I had to recuse myself on the several meetings. My son is a recent property owner of a property on North Mason. So at the last couple meetings, I recused and left the meeting. So I'm here tonight representing my son as and also as a semi-local historian, or I try to be. I work at it, so for Bennett Loomis Archives. So I wanted to start and say that I am in favor of the hotel concept, and, you know, I think it adds to the heritage tourism of the village, and that, you know, it brings in traffic for the merchants and all the restaurants and wine bars, etc. And historically, there were four hotel buildings downtown, plus several boarding houses. And two still exist. The Briscoe building above Andrini's, that was hotel housing, and the office center over Klondike's. And they were still renting hotel rooms probably as late as the 1940s or 1950s. So what I want to discuss tonight is I support the concept, and I know from experience that Mr. Tompkins always does quality design and quality detail work. So I appreciate that. I have a difference with the architecture design, though. So I'll give you my argument as if I had been at the HRC meeting. Okay, so the photos don't show too well, but I wanted to outline and let you see several of the buildings in the village that, you know, some are as early as the 1880s, like Bill's Place and the Papery. Papery's probably one of the oldest buildings we have. The brick buildings around 1897. So when in the Historic Resource Committee, what we look at are the historic design guidelines, per the National Park Service. And what they recommend is that you should honor or reference the existing design elements of our old buildings. So if you go to page 2, that's a Briscoe building where there were hotel rooms above. Doc Bernstein's Posey's was originally built as a theater in 1927 with a sweet shop where Ralph and Duane's is, so it was always a sugar place. And then lastly, what I wanted to point out is, do you have the last page? So what I was looking at, and I take the point of the architect where he talked about that he's taking the roof lines of the houses, but I think the mass and the length of the hotel design negates any cottage look. And basically, there are no heavy timbers in the village on some of the building interiors. But what my question would be is, where are the design elements of our historic buildings? In other words, the roof lines, the street setback, arches, cornices, ornamentation or lack of, the relationship of solids to voids, window and door placements, and size openings. So I think what I'm concerned about is the length of the building, and that it basically has the same bones as a generic motel. That would be my point. I also worry about parking in the front, and I know the problems with the floodplain, but why do we want to take, you know, parking in the front like Grand Avenue where there's strip malls and fast foods? It makes such a negative impact, and almost all of our buildings come towards the street. So I don't know if it's possible to compromise and have less parking in front. So that's my case. So I just want you to keep in mind that there should be a relationship to the old buildings beyond just the houses. Thank you.
Thank you. Greg Moore? Good evening.
Good evening. Excuse me. Good evening, commissioners, members of the staff. My name is Greg Moore. I'm a co-owner of Willis and Bennett at 134 East Branch Street here in the village. And I can certainly understand, you know, when there's change, human nature is such that we can create fear. And I appreciate the opinions of those people that are concerned citizens. And it's helpful to review some of the recent history, as some others have mentioned, in regards to Mr. Tompkins' Rooster Creek development. I heard the same concerns, and I believe no one can argue with the fact that that's been a great asset to the village. Now, this boutique hotel, if you look from a macro perspective, and you look what's in the best interest of the village, and you take a look at what it would accomplish, number one, it would create a more diverse village. That's a benefit to the community. It helps fiscally strengthen the city. That's a benefit to the community. It will certainly help myself as a local business owner, as Bob London mentioned. It'll create more traffic in the village. That's a benefit to the community. It also helps provide a place for guests of local residents to stay. That's a benefit of the community. So, in summary, I ask the Planning Commission to support this project. I certainly do. Thank you.
Thank you. I can't read the first name, but the last name is Ryan. Good evening, sir.
Commissioners and staff, my name is Dilla Ryan. I actually came here for another item, and I'm just happy here right now to mention something that I thought other people would mention about the parking. We were assured that the maids coming at 10 o'clock would not interfere with the hotel guests who would start appearing at 4 o'clock. But, of course, they don't always show up at 4 o'clock. Some of them come early. If the room's empty, most hotels let them come in early without any problem. And second, some people, hopefully a lot of people, stay overnight, and they don't move their car just because the maids are coming. That's my point. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike McConville?
Oh, no, I don't want to go.
You're next.
Mike McConville, 529 East Branch Street, just up the street. Shirley is right. The parking in the rear of the roof line needs to be changed to look like what she proposed. Someone made a comment about more business. My problem is when and what point do we overutilize the village? No one in this room, does anyone in this room live on East Branch?
You can just address
Statue of Liberty. Is what you can say.
Yeah, you can address your comments to us. That'd be
okay.
Great. Thank you.
Anyway, I've lived there for 15 years. I see what goes on the kids when they get off school, when they go to school. I see what impact it has on traffic and everything else here. I'm not opposed to the business, the hotel. But you need to consider two things, traffic and water. I'll go back to water. As you probably know, there's a meeting tomorrow, wastewater treatment, and that is going to raise rates up into July, 29.81%. That has something to do with a water at this point, and it's based on how much you use. The thing that I remember most of all is water wheeling. Have you all heard about that? The water wheeling is when the last I heard about it was back in, I forget what year it was, but we were buying water from Oceano in order to supply a development in the area here. The question that I have, of course, is how do we supply this hotel or any other structure downtown now with water? Do we have that much water these days? Have you considered the water problems that we have? I mean, there's a sign at the beginning of the save water. We can save a lot of water by not building anything anymore, and that's a moratorium. That moratorium was discussed many years ago. Where's the water coming from now? You know, I don't know. I've coming in late to these meetings. I have not been able to attend. I'm sorry. Anyway, the traffic is a real problem. You need to address it. You probably have at this point here, but it is a very, very bad thing in this area. Thank you.
Thank you. Susan Flores?
Good evening, Commission. Susan Flores, 529 East Branch. Mike kind of covered the water. We were, of course, talking about this at home. But the situation with the parking, in which Commissioner Keene eloquently expressed at one of the meetings a couple of weeks ago, or maybe 4 weeks ago, about how we underfigure the parking situations for different designs that we do, whether it's PUDs or whatever, that there's been some shortchange in. I, for a fact, know that these 9 spaces in the front are not enough. When Roberts was open and Mason Bar was open, people were parking all the way up in the 500 block of Branch Street in front of our houses and walking down to the restaurant. Of course, you're taking in consideration this is Friday, Saturday, and Sundays when they were open. Now that one half of it is closed, of course, we take our walks in the village. I go, I count. Their parking lot is full. There will not be a shared parking on that. There will be a fight over parking because it's just not substantial. The other thing that is severely underused is the parking lot that is on LaPointe. And I went into the city the other day and even discussed it with Kelly. And I think better signage perhaps could maybe help that situation. I work in one of the stores on the weekend for fun, in an antique store. And we have parking in the back, and people use that parking. But what happens to our designated parking, it winds up being used for R&Ds. And it gets to a point where law enforcement has to come out because our customers can't park there because they inundate it. So it's a big problem within the city. We have problems with the project across the street, which is a mixed-use project. That project is growing. The other thing is we have a project that's right on the other side of Milt Hayes, that the De Blau Zone. That project's approved. That project will come back to life. It's been 10 years. Maybe the economy will show that, yes, they can go forward with that. That project had residences and some mixed-use elements. We never got to see phase two of Nick's project with the supermarket because it never got that far. The market uses a lot of water. The hotel uses a lot of water. It's a big consideration. How big, how much, how you figure it all out. The traffic, I don't care what you charge, Nick, to mitigate the traffic. You have to get all the agencies together. You got to figure out East Grand, Traffic Way, Branch Street, 101. We haven't even figured out Briscoe yet. It's not come to fruition. It takes years. We need to mitigate that traffic a little bit better, maybe open up some streets, and then kind of look at big projects with the traffic. Thank you.
Thank you. Barbara Friel? Good evening.
I live at 502 LaPointe Street up here. I hear the city say that the pluses outweigh the minuses. I hear the merchants being very happy about bringing more tourists into the village. What I'm not hearing is, what is the benefit of this hotel project to the people who live here? And I'm echoing other people about the traffic. When you live up there, you're a prisoner certain times of the day. You can't get your car out and go anywhere because of the school traffic. And now we're going to add all these people coming out of the hotel going onto Branch Street. That's my only comment. I want to know how this project is going to benefit the citizens of Arroyo Grande.
Thank you. Ron Meyer?
Hello, Ron Meyer, 241 James Way. I just go up James Way, so you won't be a prisoner anymore. There you go. I've lived here for 12 years, and when I first moved to Arroyo Grande, I work in San Luis Obispo, so I would find myself often just driving through town, and I was always wondering why a town with such character had such little foot traffic, and there was so little to do. And I was excited as there was more vibrancy that it was added to the village, and to have projects like this come along. I find it very exciting. I thought that the first run at the hotel was very nicely done, but I got to say I was blown away. And I was kind of glad, actually, that the Planning Commission sent it back when I was, like, first going, why would they do that? It's amazing. Wow, that is really great. So good job, guys. But, I'm really excited about this project. I think that there are quite a few benefits as a citizen. I'm excited about the tax dollars. We have a beautiful village that is there for a reason as a town. It's there to be utilized, and not just by its citizenry, but as we said, it has a history of hotels as a wayward place for people that are traveling to come and enjoy. And so I find that this is essential for that. Not to mention, we're right on the border of one of the nicest little wine areas in the Edna Valley. And little boutique hotels like this really add to what we can offer in that regard. So I just think it's a perfect situation. I think the redesign really fits in nicely. And I think it is what it is. I think that the traffic is going to find a way. Parking is as such. Being a business owner, I know people are probably overutilizing since there's extra parking in that lot. I bet there's a lot of staff that's parking there. I saw people parking in that lot and walking over here today. So I was kind of thinking that people were going to wonder about parking, but they could have parked right behind, but they chose to park there. So certainly as things go, I mean, that parking lot will have to be monitored for people who are poaching those parking spots that aren't even going to those businesses. So I think it's a great project for the city, and I'm very much in support of it. Thank you.
Thank you. Daryl Cope. Good evening, sir.
My name is Daryl Cope. I'm one of the partners of Rooster Creek, and I'd like to thank Greg for his kind words.
Thank you, Greg.
Very kind. I just wanted to reiterate what Bob Lund had said and what Greg had mentioned about the support of the local business owners. I haven't spoken to all of them directly, but walking around the village in the past couple of weeks and speaking about this, Everyone that I've spoken with have been very excited about the potential influx of visitors that are walking around the village. You know, I think having a hotel of this nature in the village, people are coming to this area and they're staying in Pismo and they're staying in other places. Why not capture some of those tax dollars, which is an obvious benefit to the local community? So I'm just here in support of the hotel. So thank you very much.
Thank you. And those are all the speaker slips that I have. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak on this item? Okay.
Thank you, the commission. My name is David Ross. I live on 235 La Cresta, and you are correct. People are crazy around here when they drive. That being said, the high school, I'm probably most affected by anyone in this room by the traffic, and I'll tell you why. I have a 13-year-old daughter at Paulding. I have a 16-year-old son at Aurora County High School, and I coach at both of the schools. So I am constantly stuck in traffic. It has nothing to do with the hotel. It has nothing to do with the downtown businesses. If you go to Aurora County High School, there are no hotels, no downtown businesses, no restaurants. And have you ever tried to get through there when traffic's coming through? It's impossible. So the hotel itself is not going to either affect or detract from the traffic. The traffic is the traffic. I do agree with what I heard somebody say about crosswalks. We need to make sure that we do a better job in this area of monitoring the kids coming out of the school. And we do need to do a better job about people driving this area, not using the median lane to go all the way down and make the left-hand turn to get out of there quicker. But the hotel has nothing to do with that, and I'm in full support of this. I think our area, in a whole, when I moved here in 1982, was void of many things. And this is just going to be one more thing to add to the fact that my wife and I love now to walk down here, go to Cafe Andrini, have a coffee, go to the different shops and look around, eat in the different restaurants. And I go to San Luis Obispo probably two times a year, and I stay at the Garden Street Inn and spend the night with my wife and hang out downtown. And that's only a, 15 to 20-minute drive. But it's nice to have someplace downtown that you can stay. And I wouldn't even consider myself out of town. It's just really nice to have something comfortable in the town you live in. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. John? Sorry, I couldn't read your last name, so I'm just going with John tonight.
I was writing very fast. Vandenberg. So there's a lot of discussion about parking. I travel for a living. I cover the entire state of California. And I stay at hotels every night. And every time I go into a hotel, they ask me for the identification of the car, what color it is, the license plate, etc. Sometimes I get a little sticker and I put it on the dash that says, I am staying here at the hotel. It could be a very simple solution to what many are concerned about, because somebody said, we probably parked in that parking lot to come here, and I did, because it's convenient. But if I wasn't allowed to, I would park back here, I'd park across the street, whatever. It seems like the whole night was about parking and traffic. If there was a grocery store there, I guarantee the traffic would be horrendous all day long. As much as I'd like to have a grocery store there, because I live out east, and I'll just travel two more miles. And I had a party for my 50th birthday, and I had to send people as far as San Luis Obispo to stay in a hotel. And I was not sending them to the two motels that we have here in town. I didn't even mention them because they're embarrassing. This boutique hotel is a fabulous idea. It'll bring a lot of quality visitors to our town. I think that the area depends heavily on tourism. As much as we like to frequent the restaurants here, we can't keep them in business just as a community. I think the tourism is really what's going to keep us in business. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Gonzalez? Good evening, sir.
Hi. I'm sorry. I'm
I'm very nervous, and I'm very tired. I have long days at my shop. My wife and I own Aurora Grande Meat Company. I've been there for, about 24 years. In the time that we've been there, this town has really changed an enormous amount. It was a beautiful, quaint little town before everything started happening. But I remember I used to pray to God for help in paying my bills. I didn't know how I was going to make it. My rent was $600 a month, and I didn't know how I was going to make it. I can tell you one thing. It ain't $600 no more. And I don't worry about paying it, because there's a lot of changes in this town that have directly benefited me. And I feel so honored and so grateful. I look at the people like, you know, Bob Lund and John before him, who I'm just overwhelmed at what they do for this town, how they pick up trash behind my shop and plant flowers and pick up dog poop and fix fences and beautify the bridges. And I'm just astounded that people love and care about this town like that. And the amount of people that come to this town, it's really incredible. You've made this place a crown jewel. Pismo sucks, according to this place. You know, I'm sorry, but I don't want to stay in Grover. You know, I want to stay right here. I love it right here. But the fact of the matter is, this place is changing. And we have a choice right now on how we want it to grow. My building is part of the original start of Arroyo Grande, the village of Arroyo Grande. And I'm sure there were a lot of people against it back then. They wanted it to stay rural farmland. Well, the fact of the matter is, this place has been discovered. It's up to us to say, hey, this is what we want it to be in the future, and this is what we want it to look like. You invited everybody in. Now give them a place to stay. If I understand that people who live here, hey, I live right down the road. I don't like the traffic any more than they do, but I deeply appreciate being able to pay my bills. And people who are going to stay here are going to have a place to go and a place to go back to, and they can invite other people. Most of the hotels around here, I wouldn't ask my family to stay at them, so they stay at our house, you know? I don't want them staying at my house anymore. Thank you.
Thank you. Those are all the comment slips that I have. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak on this item? Yes, please come up.
Talking, but I love what we hear as far as being in favor of this. I'm Denise Andrini. I own Kathy Andrini. I was born and raised here. My parents, I was raised out on the country out here in Corlitos Canyon. The thing about adding this to the village, I think we need to look at the projects that Nick has brought to the village. And I was with him during the project of Brewster Creek, and I have to tell you, as a business owner, bringing that into the village has helped all of the businesses here. We need to look carefully, I think, at the architecture. And I think his integrity to keep these buildings in the scope with the village has been proven. The mural on the wall at the Mason Bar. I think when you look at him taking your ideas and changing this, everyone, I think even that is opposed to this at the beginning, is looking at that saying, that looks great. I think that what we need to do is we need to constantly evolve the village for, it needs to be a place where people in our community will come for a variety of reasons. I'm moving back into the village this next week. I lived here in the village for a year, a couple years ago. And I think that for me, having my family here, it's a great opportunity for us to come down and have a variety of businesses. And like a lot of people have said, we need a good hotel in this area. We really do. And when people come in to visit, it's a difficult place to place them. And so I think that adding a boutique, upscales the village, it brings more people into the village, and you can tell that people like me that's been raised here, it's nice to be able to be a business owner in this area, and it's nice to be able to see new people and new life come to the village after being in the village for 19 years. I have to say that the improvements that Nick has brought to the village have really helped us business owners. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, seeing no other comments, I'll close the comment period and bring it back to the commission. Do you have any more questions for staff or before? No. Okay, comments.
None.
Okay. No other questions? Comments?
Quick question for staff.
Oh, no.
In the second proposal, the difference between the first proposal and this proposal, we gained a few more rooms, correct?
That's correct.
And then parking statistics reflect that as well.
Correct.
Just wanted to throw that out.
Director McClish, can I please just ask you to once again address the water issue for the public? I know that you've addressed it at every meeting, but I just find that it's a question that people always ask, and I know you have such a great answer for it. And it's appreciated if you could just repeat yourself again.
Certainly. It is always somewhat difficult when we have water restrictions being handed down by the governor and we have new building going on to understand and very astute and good questions in terms of do we have enough water, and I'm happy to address it. The city's water supply and demand factors are looked at scrutinized very closely lately, but generally by our master plans, our water master plan, our urban water management plan, and these documents evaluate build-out supply and assign factors for each lot in the city at build-out. And so that's what we factor in terms of building and in terms of assigning overall demand and our supplies. And right now we are looking very good in terms of our water supply and demand balance. That's, you know, we're at 60-something percent of our demand. And even though the governor for the statewide drought concern conditions is mandating cutbacks, and everybody's doing a very, very good job cutting back. It's been difficult for many of our community folks in the community, but that all helps curtail our demand and really set in a new normal, if you will, in terms of a water conservation ethic. So that's even though it's been painful, it's a very good thing. But the bottom line here is this lot has been evaluated in terms of our water management plans and master plans and assigned a water factor, and that's where it was evaluated. And then beyond that, applicant was required to and supplied a water analysis, and we're pushing the limits in terms of making sure that new development is as water efficient as possible, and that's on indoor use and outdoor use as well. So making sure that everything new built is very efficient, and indeed it is found to be far more efficient than many of the existing buildings in the city that were built some time ago. And finally, there is some options if there's concern there, and there's none in terms of the recommendation, but gray water systems are another potential here, and it's outlined in your report some additional factors that could be added should the Planning Commission wish to go down that route. Recently evaluated by you and council in terms of mandating it and choosing, and that's not the mandate now, but it is an optional tool to even push that envelope even further for water conservation.
Thank you. And it's a gray water. Can they just plumb for it and build it out in the future?
Possibly. I think they've even looked at different options in a landscape, laundry to landscape, or a similar system would probably be appropriate for this use.
Okay. My last question is about the parking. Is there any electrical vehicle parking spots allocated for the property?
The plans do identify one potential EV parking space that's near East Branch Street, kind of facing the creek. So there is one that will be stubbed out for the EV station, yes.
Just stubbed?
At this time, yes.
Thank you. Okay. So we'll proceed with our comments. Vice Chair Keane, do you want to start? No?
No.
Okay.
I will.
Okay. I can start if you want.
No, it's okay. I moved here in 1975. That was a dirt lot. It's time to let the property owner put something on his land that meets the criteria and codes of Arroyo Grande. I take a 2-month road trip every summer, drive around the country, stay in hotels, and I probably 50 a summer, and I tend to go to the small hotels because we don't drive the freeways, and we take back roads, we explore the countryside, so we run across a lot of small hotels. And I think this would be an ideal place that I would be looking for if I was traveling, because this is what I tend to stay at. One of the things that has been brought up is the entrance to the driveway or entrance to the hotel. When I'm traveling and I'm looking for a place, I generally see it and I'm by the first drive before the decision is made to go in. So when you're going down Grand Avenue, by the time you see that, you're going to go to the far entrance, which should be the entrance to the hotel. It's just logic. Coming from Lopez or whatever, you're going to see the hotel way before you would going away from, east. So that entrance is perfectly fine with me being on that end. I think it's just logical that that's where it should be because of the description of in all of our traffic studies about the parking turn lanes and stacking lanes at the signal. It's where it has to be. I don't have a problem with that at all. One of the things that I don't know whether it could be changed or even if it needs to be, but when you look at the new Puerto Cachure, when somebody is leaving from the back, they have to go over through that other parking lot to get out, because the Puerto Cachure is just an in place where somebody is parked. And if at all possible, that so you'd be coming out here and you'd have to go over in this parking lot and out. You moved it on me. To get out. Actually, there needs to be a drive beside this one where the people are checking in rather than have to negotiate your way through the other parking lot. Don't know if it can be done. I'm not going to hold it up for that, but it's something that needs to be looked at, in my opinion. And I'm just using that from experience of being staying around this place. I understand from the last meeting that there is a laundry gray water system that they're talking about putting in that they were investigating that's going to save a lot of water. And so I would like to encourage that. I don't know whether it's as one of the conditions of approval or not, but I think we need to.
You can add it.
Thank you. The new wall out in front here, this mural on this building, on the Roberts building now, I think is going to turn out to be a historic landmark for our town. And I am so impressed with that, I just can't get over myself. But when you're coming down the street, if this wall and the landscaping here gets too big to hide it, I'd be pretty disappointed. I'm in favor of this wall, but I'd like to restrict it to like 42 inches so that it covers the people's headlights from parking there going out in the street, but yet you can still sit in your car coming down here and have visibility of that. And I want to make sure that this landscaping, trees and stuff, don't hide that mural from the people passing by. As you can see, I'm in favor of this project. And I think that it's 100% better to me than it was before. I'm really thrilled with the changes. I like the trellis feature that guides the people to the path, also guides somebody from the street right to the walkway over to the front entrance. I think it's a neat addition. Most of my other comments were made at the other meeting, so I don't have a lot more to say. I guess that's all for now. Thank you.
Commissioner Mack?
Can I borrow your point?
Sure. I first like to start with recognizing that the architect did invite me over to his office after we went through the last Planning Commission meeting. I actually beat him up pretty good. And Steve called me up and said, John, can you come on down? And I said, sure. And I thank you for that, Steve, because what you said is you really wanted to address the Planning Commission's concerns, and you really wanted to incorporate that and move the project forward in a positive manner, and you've done that. And the other thing that was discussed was you're able to go in more detail on some of the issues that I was having problems with. You're able to go through the traffic issues and the history of the traffic and why those in and out movements are the way they are and the parking the way it is, and some of the other topography issues with the site and what can and cannot be done with certain things that I was troubled with. And you really went out of your way to explain that to me, and I appreciate that. So with the project, what you have done with the architecture is completely outstanding. It's gone above my expectations from the last reiteration. My concerns last time was traveling down Branch Street and trying to identify how to get in and out of the project and which driveway, because it's very confusing on how to get in. And you've done that with the wall treatment, the trellis treatment, the popping out of the additional two units. I'm a little disappointed we didn't get our meeting room, which would have been a public benefit. But the architecture and the sense of space and the articulation, I can tell it's a collaborative effort amongst a number of professionals. And it's a really good job. The articulation on the building, the beams, the columns, everything to do with the architecture, I do not have a problem with. The issues that I have still remaining are internal and the workings of the hotel itself. And I've been part of a few hotel designs myself with different operators and such. And it's internal circulation. You have a dead-end parking lot, and everyone has to go through and do that T maneuver, you know, to get out if they can't find a parking place. It's really part of the function of the hotel. The Planning Commission should be evaluating a number of issues. Does it meet the general plan? Does it, you know, is it wise, you know, to put this use on there? We're doing a conditional use permit to go over the maximum building area. They're doing the right vehicle. They're doing the right process in getting there. I look at this parcel and I go, what would I imagine on there? I really don't imagine a commercial building bordering a creek. I think the residential use, being a hotel, is the appropriate use, and not just a big old parking lot or a big old face of a block building facing the creek with a pedestrian path. Do I think this is the right use? Absolutely. Then I come down to the question of hotel or motel in Arroyo Grande. Absolutely. Every city has one. Los Alamos, you know, Avila Beach. And I gave a lot of examples last time at the Planning Commission of what I was looking for in terms of a quality architecture design that we can be proud of and say, well, that's unique. It's not anywhere else. The public benefit? Yeah, I'm going to tell my family about this place to stay here. I'm going to tell my brother when he comes up and visits from Palm Desert. Yeah, we have a really nice hotel in Arroyo Grande. And by the way, you know, when you come up and go see, you know, the bikes going down through here or the Strawberry Festival or whatever, stay there. You don't even have to drive. I do see the public benefit. What I am disappointed in is we lost the definition of a boutique hotel and some of the other amenities that would go with that. Whether it's massage, you know, or whatever, or therapy, or the meeting room. I know we do need a meeting room. We have a lot of groups that do assemble, and right now our coffee shops are getting quite small. And it would be really nice to also incorporate that. I'm not saying you have to. I'm saying it would be really nice if you did. The pool, I know it's a function of the hotel wanting to serve their guests. I'm more of a fan of smaller, intimate spaces, maybe an outdoor fire pit or, you know, barbecue area for the guests or jacuzzi as opposed to the pool. But again, that's going to be up to the hotel operator. What I do understand is we did gain a few rooms with this proposal from the last one. I would have much rather saw after you gained and popped out the building, like you did here, and gained some more rooms, that you maybe remove these rooms here, because what that would do for you, if you took the 4 feet out, you can create a circulation. Cars can circulate back through here and actually gain maybe another bay of parking. When I kind of looked at it, you could probably gain 8-9 spaces. You don't have to do that. What I'm saying is it makes it more functional for your guests entering and exiting and leaving the facility. We talked a lot this commission about updating our parking standards, and I think we did learn something from the applicant to also maybe include in our hotels one maid per every 11 rooms, maybe be added to staff, the manager's unit. I think that's good information that as we're doing our own internal update of our parking standards that we take that information to heart. With that, I am very in support of the architecture. I personally would like to see some refinements with the parking lot and the additional of the rooms. I've heard all the comments here from the community, and I'm not necessarily one to put it on a scale. There is more good comments versus more bad comments. I try and look at whether there's an effect, a real honest effect on the community, and then mitigate that and create conditions within the proposal that we need to add to address those issues. So I'm looking at, is there anyone from this facility that is going across the street and taking our parking in the commercial zone across the street? I don't necessarily see that, but I do see an issue with oversized vehicles. I do see an issue with bigger vehicles that do come to our town, and where do they park? So where do they park? And that's still a question in my mind of where did they go?
Thank you, Commissioner Mack. Commissioner Martin?
Thank you. I've got three basic comments. First is one of use. For me, this is a fairly simple decision because it is in compliance with the zoning. They're not looking for that kind of exemption. Certainly their size and scale of that type. I don't live in the village, but I'm certainly have heard enough of friends and family talk about the lack of a market in the village, although we didn't hear it very much tonight. But I certainly understand and appreciate the applicant's efforts in attempting to find a grocery store to come in here with his approved plans to bring a grocery store and his difficulty in his failure to be able to do that and wanting to be able to develop that property out. So market versus hotel, certainly there's less water with a hotel than a market, although that may be a bit counterintuitive, but everything we're reading is indicated that the traffic is much less with the hotel. I have absolutely no problem at all with the use, and I agree with Commissioner Mack that I think, you know, visually it's a great use of that particular parcel. The design, I'm one of these people, frankly, that I'm on the Planning Commission, not the Architecture Review Commission, for a very, very good reason. I'm less concerned with color than I am with the function and the zoning. I'm sympathetic to the comments about the tradition, the village, what I'm going to call a village traditional look. Versus more of an upgraded hotel look. And like the architectural design and the improvements and changes that were made with this iteration. I'll just leave that at that. The last one is traffic. Traffic is not going to go away. I think the easiest thing for me to say is agree with the local citizen that just made the comment that the traffic through the village is so much impacted by the school and the school traffic. These 50 rooms and the additional traffic that this is going to bring, to me, is going to be incidental. But we do certainly need to be vigilant in making sure that the morning and afternoon traffic, whether it's vehicle traffic of parents driving their kids to school, or I think more in the afternoon, just the students coming down off that hill, making sure the crosswalks and staffing, crossing guards or whatever, whether that's a school district issue or a city issue, those really do need to be addressed because the traffic is not going to go away whether this project gets approved or not. But those issues with the students at the school, that's not going to go away either. I think it's a great project. I don't see any big issues with it. Thank you.
Okay. First of all, I'd like to thank the public for coming out and having all your comments be heard here. We take them very seriously, and we appreciate you taking the time to come out and address your concerns. I'd also like to thank Mr. Lund and all of his work with the Aurora Grande Village Improvement Association and with Aurora Grande and Bloom. I know that everyone's talked a lot about parking and traffic, so I don't really need to talk about that. But the village of Aurora Grande is a very core part of Aurora Grande, and to not love it you'd be remiss. So the fact that Bob Lund spends so much time trying to make it what it is for all of us to appreciate. Being on the Planning Commission, we need to do our due diligence to continue that. That being said, I love our local merchants here, and without the local merchants, we wouldn't have a downtown village at all. So anything that we can do to support our local merchants, to me, is a benefit. And I see this hotel coming in as a huge benefit, and I'm in full support of this hotel. I did not like the way it looked when it came through the first time, and I appreciate the developers for taking the time to go back, do your research, and hear all of our comments, and come back with a project that really no one has any complaints about, or very few complaints, and I appreciate that. I love the covered trellis. I just think that that's such a neat thing, and the fencing to hide the parking I thought was also fabulous. Listening to Vice Chair Keene, I do think we need to address the height of that fencing so that it doesn't impede the view of the mural. I really don't have much more to add. I think everyone's pretty much said what we need to say as far as the parking, the traffic, the tax revenue. Just, I think we need to just support our local community, support our local merchants. We enjoy going in for a cup of coffee, having a glass of wine, and if our merchants don't have enough business, they slowly go away, and then we're left with vacant lots, and we don't want that. So I am in full support of this project, and I'm ready to move forward with a motion.
May I add a comment?
Yes.
Just when I've been hearing a lot of comments about the school kids and the traffic, and it's for discussion with the commission here. One of my thoughts is a lot of the traffic generated at the hotel or motel is check-in time. Well, checking at check-in time. Can we ensure that maybe the check-in time doesn't coincide with the school dismissal bell? You know, like an hour, that hour period? I don't know if that would be a...
I don't know if we can, because that would be up to the operator of the hotel. That would be a question for staff more so than the commission.
Oh, I didn't know if anyone else would see that as a benefit or not, but that's just something that just...
I think more so that would be something we would advise the hotel operator to just let their customers know, hey, if you come in at this time, you're going to encounter a lot of traffic because the schools do let out. But that's just my opinion. Commissioner Martin, do you have an opinion on that? No?
No.
No. Vice Chair Keene?
No? Just going back to my travels, when we get to the motel, no matter what time it is, we can generally check in, whether it's 2 o'clock or even when they... On reservations, they always say 3 o'clock or something like that. But I don't think that anybody's going to turn you away if you come in earlier or later. And so, anyway, I don't think that that's such a hard rule that governing it would help the situation. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I was just thinking discussion amongst ourselves whether... we see that as an issue or not, or would that be a benefit or not?
Mm-hmm. I can draft a motion. Okay, I'm going to draft a motion. Okay. But I want to add the gray water, the wall height, 42.
I'll ask you for it. Yeah. I move that the Planning Commission adopt a resolution of the Planning Commission, the City of Rio Grande, adopting a mitigated declaration and approving lot merger 15004 and conditional use permit 15007 located at 325 East Branch Street, applied for by NKT Commercial, with a couple of additions.
Yeah, conditions of approval would be to put a maximum height of 42 inches on the parking wall or fence, whatever you call that. That to somehow put in there to maintain the landscaping to be a low profile so as not to block the mural. I don't know if we need to address a height on that, but... And then also to add a vehicle parking spot for electric plug-ins, fully usable, not just plumbed. And did you want to add the gray water?
The laundry.
Yeah. And then to... plumb for the gray water for the laundry usage.
Yeah, well, they proposed a new laundry system that was going to save a lot of water, and right. I would like to have that condition put in that they use that system.
Yeah, that ozone laundry system. get a second?
Second.
Get a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner King?
Yes.
Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Chair George?
Yes. And the motion carries 4-0. Thank you, everyone, for coming out tonight. I appreciate your time. Do you guys want to take a break, or do you want to power through?
There's nothing hardly left. Let's go for it.
Okay. Just have to ask that.
It's not even 8 yet.
Okay, so we'll move to non-public hearing items, and we have none.
Let's give them 2 minutes. Let's just give them 2 minutes to get out of here.
Okay.
Come on, come on. Bulldoze this way through here.
I'm all about in and out. We'll take a 5-minute break. Come back at 8 o'clock. Thank you. We'll continue with tonight's meeting. For non-public hearing items, we have none, so we'll move to the Notice of Administrative Decisions since February 2nd. And it looks like we have an item on here that is being appealed. It's ARC 15-012 and MEX 15-008. It's the Paulding Circle East Village Plaza. That's going to be appealed, so we don't need to worry about that one.
That's correct. That will come before you in a public hearing tentatively scheduled for March 1st.
Okay. And then there's 303 East Branch Street that it's a commercial facade that got approved. Okay. Did you want to speak on that item, sir?
Well, I'm the applicant for the Paulding Circle, so we have questions. Can you tell us if you have any questions?
Okay. I believe we'll just wait till it comes on our agenda.
Yes, once an appeal is filed, we'll schedule it for a hearing, so we have to provide notice for that to be able to discuss the project.
Thank you for staying anyways. Appreciate that. Okay, commission communications. Commissioners have anything to communicate?
Just that I live near the site of the new three-story medical building there on Fair Oaks. And if you hadn't noticed yesterday and today, they were noisily removing the eucalyptus that are there. And there's just a few tree trunks that are left. So construction, or destruction, is well underway.
I had a question about the development on Ash. I think it's ash. They started to remove trees, and I was told the tree removal had to be stopped because of permit issues. Has that been resolved?
Nearly resolved. The Director of Public Works will be issuing the tree removal permits for the likely for the remaining trees, depending on a report on their health.
So were those trees not supposed to be removed?
They were allowed to be removed in the entitlement process. However, it was subject to the Public Works Director issuing the tree removal permits. And before those were issued, they started to come down. So that's being worked out.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Commissioner Mack?
Yeah, I have an off-the-wall question here. Just because we're in a drought situation on Waterbury water conservating and all of that. Is there any, with our basins, I notice they're filling up with the rains and they're up 2/3 and 3/3, and I know we have a lined basin down there. Is there any pumping of those basins to water our fields or soda sports field, or are we using that water? Or is it just seeping back into the ground and staying there, or? I mean, Can we look into that, maybe, using that water?
We do use basins at the Sotos Field for storage, essentially storage, and it does allow percolation into the groundwater basin, and we account for that ability to store some water there. And otherwise, our groundwater basin is recovering slowly, and we're allowing a minimal amount of pumping from the basin, whereas we were curtailing it very severely and relying on our surface water supplies. Now we'll bring up our pumping a little bit and try to save our surface water supplies. So that's sort of the strategy right now.
So my question was, is are we using that water to like water the fields or our own fields?
Yeah, and I couldn't, I do not believe so. I believe it's simply storage of water right now.
I'm just wondering if that would be a good idea.
I'd be happy to provide a detailed explanation for the operations there.
Without any other communications, move to staff communications.
None this evening.
Okay. So then, I say we adjourn the meeting.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.